studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And for those of you who are wondering, no, this is not Saturday like our normal broadcast time. It is Wednesday, our new day. Actually, new time, just new day. And I had to call Cliff up and go, "Hey, Cliff, wake up. We're broadcasting today." He said, "Go away."
What? Who had to call who? Who had to wake up who? Baloney. I tell you, kids.
You don't think I take the blame for all that, do you?
Well, I don't know. I was here at about 8:30 in the morning, and of course I didn't have Skype up until a little later, but I was here. Oh, that's what's wrong. All right. Oh, I've got to get this thing controlled. I rebooted at one point in order to make it sound better, and it brings up about four different programs I don't want up. And I got to tell it to make them go away, tell it to not bring them up and on start. Yeah. And I got to find out how to do that.
Well, speaking of bringing things up, who are we and why are we doing this? Maybe they want to.
It could be real derogatory. We are Cliff and Robin, and we are here. KRBNRadio.com is where we are. KRBNRadio.com. And I on Blog Talk, how do you get to us from Blog Talk?
A couple ways you can do it. If you go to blogtalkradio.com and look in the live chat section right now, which I would tell you exactly where it is, but Blog Talk Radio keeps moving things around. And no, we are not the Travis Smiley Network, as the first impressions you get. The direct line to it is, like Cliff said, you can go to krbnradio.com, and there's a link there, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/krbn. Or you can just do an internet search, a Google search for KRBN Radio, and you'll find us right there.
That's the easiest way, the Google search, I think. That's the easiest way to find us, because you just go to Google, put in KRBN Radio, or just KRBN Radio, you just get there. Presto, it just shows you we're right there, and then you can just click on any number of places to go.
That's right.
And that's the easiest thing. Or you could give us a call.
Give us a call. How do they do that?
That is 646-721-9887.
Okay, let me make sure I got this right again.
Got it?
Okay, 646 721.
You betcha.
9887. And if you're not broadcasting, how can I send you a message?
If we're not broadcasting him, well, anytime you can send us, you can send us an email message anytime you want to. And I invite you to go to KRBNRadio.com and take a look at the new and revised format of the website, because I've changed it a little bit. If you go there, I changed the picture on the top. There's little birds walking. I've got to change it again because the bottom of little birds is cut off. All we got is our heads. But anyway. you can go to there and take a look at that, and you can find out information. You can click on the KRBN blog. Well, come on, there we go. I did it. Oh, another thing too. This is something that you need to look into, because you get to change it. It hasn't been changed. It still says around Saturdays.
Ah.
It says over 167 shows and 80,000 listeners and growing. And we've joined, you can join Cliff and Robin discussing the most important things both in Oregon and in the nation. Actually, we don't discuss much in Oregon. Plus, we have a little fun, too. Well, get a little carried away. It's not on Saturdays. It's on Wednesdays. At 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Pacific time. That's right.
Yeah. And 646-721-9887. Or you can email us. Now, this is real easy to do.
Okay.
You can email us.
Okay, go ahead.
talk@krbnradio.com. Or if you're there at KRBN Radio already, you'll notice that on the left-hand side is our menu. Below the menu, we've got the place where you can listen, the radio. And below that, you've got email. You can just click on that, and that brings up the email for us. You don't even have to put it in the computer. You just put your stuff in there and do it. I mean, it's try to make this as easy as possible.
That's right. And we're all over the place, too. We're in addition to Blog Talk Radio and our own website, krbnradio.com. You can also dig us up on iTunes. You can listen to us live right now on your cell phone or, of course, on the website. And what we'd like to do is encourage you to give us a call, 646-721-9887. If there's something that's on your mind, if you've never called a talk show before, these are excellent formats to do that. Like I said earlier, you can listen to the program on your phone by dialing that number. If you want to participate, just push 1 on your handset, and it'll come up on my board up here with your area code and phone number, and I'll just say, hey, area code 541, welcome to the program. Open the mic, and we have a nice little discussion of what's on your mind, and it's all good and fun. If you've never done it before, give us a try. Be warned, it's addicting. And
if you have something to say that I don't like, that's even better, because I'll fight for my rights. I'll do it.
And have a little fun, too, while we're at it.
Yeah.
We do have our own topics that we talk about, but that never, if you have something else that you want to talk about, we're always glad to do that. We've been known to shift gears 15 times during the program, just like today, where we've gone 7 minutes so far just telling you why you should listen to us. So,
real important. Well, it is important.
That's right. So we got quite a bit to talk about actually today, and some topics we're going to touch on is the new Galaxy S4 from Samsung. National security, the NSA, how do you feel about what's going on with them and being monitored? And why should we be giving money to Syria and that type of stuff? So, Cliff, I'll throw the ball in your court and let you start. Pick a topic to start with.
Pick a topic. Well, that's okay. Well, this thing with Syria, the only thing I was a little upset about is I read an article here about Syria and the fact, you know, we've been giving money. We've been, I don't know if we're sending troops over there, but we're sending airplanes over there and helping with the troops on the ground over there. And we got into big trouble. We still don't know what happened in Syria. And yet, the thing that gets to me, Iran just this week signed a deal with Syria. Iran signed a deal with Syria to give them $3.6 billion in credit to buy oil products. It was a deal that they agreed to in May, and I didn't know about it until now. But it just really upsets me that Syria is playing us for fools, as far as I'm concerned. We shouldn't be over there. I've always thought that Syria and Iran were, you know, the two of them are synonymous. They both have the same ideas and same philosophies. And if you look around and find out what they've done in other parts of the world, they're doing the same things. And if Iran is doing it, as far as I'm concerned, if there anybody else is following Iran and doing what they're doing, we should just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. I understand that they're fighting a war amongst them, amongst themselves, sort of. So it's a civil war in this particular case. And we should just, we don't even half of the time know which side to choose. We don't know which side we're fighting on. We don't know which side is the good guys. And you can't tell. And we just get the hell out of there and leave it alone. He wanted to try to set a deal of $4 billion, a ceiling. Well, let's just not give him anything. Let's just leave it out. Of course, we would have got our butt in there, and we've got to – can we gracefully get out of that, I mean, at all? Or should we just jump out and leave it alone?
Well, the question is why do we get into this stuff to begin with? I mean – first of all, what's the old saying about teaching a man to fish? You know, about helping somebody out.
I don't think that even fits here. I really don't. That's because we could give them the money and teach them to fish. Supposedly, they just use it against us.
Right.
They'd throw the fish in our face.
Well, they probably would. But the thing is, why do we feel that we need to impose? If they don't like us and they don't want to have anything to do with us, it's like, well, you know, here, take my money anyways.
Right.
I guess where I'm going at is that it's one thing to help another country out, like maybe, you know, with food, supplies, that type of stuff, instead of financially. But to get in there and, you know, we're going to get in, we're going to help you. If you don't want our help, we're not going to help you. And then we're going to leave.
Except that we don't do that. We get in there and we're going to help you. And if they don't want our help, we're still going to help you.
Right.
We just have to decide which side we want to support. And now that's just a decision that we made. That really, we don't know there. We don't. As far as I'm concerned, I don't believe anything they say. Nothing they do convince me that they're on our side. Or anybody's on our side. They never have been in the past. I just can't believe that we could spend our money alongside of Iran.
Well, that's the point where I'm getting at is that we don't have the money. You know, we listen to, you know, the sequestra, how we can't afford to, you know, aid for our own people, our own infrastructure is falling apart, and yet we're still giving huge amounts of money overseas to, like you said, to countries that don't even like us. You know, why are we helping them if we can't even help ourselves first? That's like borrowing money from China, which, first of all, why in the hell did we have to do that to begin with? And then we're giving that money away to somebody else.
Well, that's it. We're borrowing it from one person and giving it to another. That's not the way that we should be doing things. Not that's the way we are, but that's not the way we should be doing things. As far as that's concerned, we shouldn't be giving money to Egypt at this particular point.
Right.
I mean, Egypt is a much, much bigger country, and at times they have, well, certain parts of the Egyptian government, shall we say, I don't know if I want to say government, because there is no government. It's the military is the government at the moment, and the military likes us. But why does the military like us? Because we've given them $1.5 billion for 15 years. That's why. We've been the sole supporter, our main supporter of Egypt's military for years and years and years. Of course they'd like us. I mean, my God, let's be straight about this. But the people don't. The people are getting really upset that we're meddling and getting involved, and they're going through this whole thing again. And the military in Egypt has taken over the country in a coup, a coup that we don't supposedly want to call a coup. That's another story entirely. But it's a coup, and so, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood is the people that we're working against here. And I understand why they did this. this is stepping from one story to another. But you know, the military, the government that was elected, it was actually legitimately elected and everything, and they started out fine, but they changed things. They decided that the government decided, okay, the women are no longer equal. They need to wear, I don't know if they have to wear things over their faces or not, but pretty close. And they're not equal in any way, shape, or form. They're taking the whole country back to the way it was before. And the jobless rate is worse than it was when they took over the country, took over the government. And so the military has stepped in, and they took the president out. They did not took him out like murder him or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
He's being held someplace so where nobody knows where he is. And consequently, but we're still giving them $1.5 billion. And that means the people are mad at us. But people are getting even more and more mad at us as we go along because we keep supporting one side. It's always the same side, the military. But there should be a way they can do this. I mean, I understand this guy that was selected president, Morrissey, he could be taken out of the presidency, but it was going to be too long. It was going to be a couple, 3 years before they would elect a new president, and they were afraid he'd have enough of a – be settled enough that they couldn't get him out. And I understand that, but we shouldn't be backing all this sort of thing. We're getting ourselves into places where we're not supposed to be, and Middle East – all of that, we don't understand the people and how they live and what they do. And I don't care how much people have been over there. I don't care how many years Americans have been there. We don't understand the way they live. And we're not doing things right. And consequently, we need to get our asses out of there and leave them alone. And that would be huge amounts of money that we'd be saving, too.
Yeah, that or, you know, like I said earlier, is that if you want our help, these are the conditions. I mean, look, you know, if a citizen wants help from the government, I'll give you a good personal example. When we had an elderly person living here and we had them come in, I forget what program it was, but some assistance program, they came in here and told us we needed to hire a housekeeper, despite the fact that there's three other people living in the household at the time. We had to go buy a smoke detector for every room. We had to go buy a certain type of fire extinguisher, the ones that we had inside the house. There are others. There's about four fire extinguishers here at the house and in the studio, but those were the standard size ABC extinguishers, and the ones in the kitchen were the smaller version that, you know, Granny could easily handle. Unaccessible, had to have the bigger one that she couldn't even lift. You know, but they basically came in and disrupted our whole lives just for a little bit of assistance with medical and other stuff. I guess where I'm going with all that is we're giving all this aid to other countries. Are we coming in and saying, okay, fine, we want to get involved with you. If you want our aid, this is the requirements or that you're going to have to meet to do it?
I believe, yes, we do. And, of course, the military in Egypt, for example, is going to say, sure, we'll do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're going to do it. That doesn't mean they're going to cooperate. They will to a certain extent, at least enough to get the money. I mean, this is a bunch of crap. You don't do that. You just first of all, stop giving the money. Stop giving the money because we've been doing this for too many years. We've given away too much money. We've given away millions and millions and millions of billions of dollars just to Egypt alone. And each of the other countries, for a long time, we didn't do anything with Syria. And we just left Syria alone because Syria was like giving it to Iran. But now for some reason or other, we've stepped in and decided that we're going to help Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to throw money at them. And it's not working. It hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to work in the future. Why are we still doing it? Why do we have a government of our own? Why do we have a president and a Congress that are that stupid? I mean, it seems to be, well, you know, the point is our Congress, that's their job, is to give away money, and they're doing it very well.
Yeah, I'd like to have some of our money back.
Well, that's where we got to make them. That's where we're going to make some big, big, big changes. We shouldn't be giving Congress the money. We should refuse to. I mean, I agree. I think a lot of us should just refuse to pay our taxes. Because it's being squandered. It's being absolutely squandered, as far as I'm concerned, in almost every experience. And all, I mean, when I don't know how much money we give away worldwide, as far as giving, and I'm talking about giving away. But it's if we didn't do that worldwide, we probably wouldn't have to have half the price of half the tax rate that we do now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's always been my argument, is that the difference between the necessities and feel-good projects, you know, with like I can only speak for myself. You know, I only have a limited amount of money. I can't go to my employer and say, I want more money. He'll laugh at me. I can't tell my credit card company that I want to increase my limit just because I want to. They'll laugh at me. So I have to learn to live with the amount of money that comes in. I mean, yeah, I'd like to go to the movies every week. I'd like to buy a fancier car. I'd like to do a whole bunch of feel-good things. But I like to having a place to live. I like eating. I like paying, you know, for utilities and those necessities which come first.
Well, we're going back to the same old thing that we've been talking about before. One of the things we have to do in order to fix this is we have to elect different people.
Right.
And we've got an election coming up. But we're in the same position that Egypt was in, because it's, as far as I'm concerned, we've got to wait too much time. It's too long between elections. It's only 2 years, but we've got to change the central core of the Congress. We've got to change a lot of people in there, because people don't seem to understand what they're doing to us.
Well, I don't recall, you might, if there was something similar, but there's a Facebook page. Yes, there's a Facebook page. The title of it is Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment. And so far it's got about 20,000 likes on it, and I guess the whole point is that people are going up in the overpasses, holding up signs saying impeach Obama now.
I've seen some of those. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. But do you recall the public getting out, except for the Vietnam era and stuff like that, getting out in numbers like that to do that?
No, not necessarily. I've never. I don't know of anything. Come think of it, Americans have this thing. They don't want to be involved. And they'd rather sit on their behinds and do nothing,
right.
And we have an awful lot of the do nothings. But I don't know how many people. But I have in my driving up and down the freeway and this and that and the other, I have seen a couple of times, two or three times, people out with the signs and on the overpasses and stuff. And I also saw a couple of people just and I would be quick to please don't do this. I did see a couple of people on the freeway holding up signs. Now, we don't want to get actually on the freeway, because you get on the side of the freeway and people use that side of the freeway. People pull off of there when they're in trouble and when you could get yourself hurt.
Right.
So don't do it alongside the freeway. Do it up on the overpass. They usually have sidewalks up there that you can stand on and you can lean over the overpass. And more people can see you better up there than can see you on the side of the road. So do that and accomplish something that way. But, yeah, that's where is that? Is that on the – what's that called?
It's overpass.org is their main website. And they have the Facebook page is Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment.
Okay.
And they got a really cute sign on here that somebody uploaded. You remember the TV commercial about the most interesting person? You know, it's a wine or some type of alcohol commercial, you know. Anyway, they're doing a spoof on that, where they have this husky just kind of relaxing on top of a doghouse, and the sign says, I don't always pee on political signs, but when I do, they say Obama.
Okay.
That's really cute. You've got to go check it out. It's very
interesting. Yeah. But that overpass.org, I came up with overpass.com. I suggest you go bookmark it and at least take a look at it and become a part of it, because there's so many things you can do we need to get involved in something. We need to get behind something, and anything we've got to do
don't worry, you're just live.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at this at the same time, and I think .com is wrong, or maybe it must be right, because...
Well, that's what the sign here says, overpass.org.
I'm trying to get there.
Well, I'm not lying.
It changes back to calm. When I put in overpass.org and click on it, it goes to the overpass.com.
Well, it does, but as long as it gets you there.
Well, I don't know where it's got me, because now it's talking about coins. And
coin history. Well, maybe it's been spoofed, because look what it's going up against.
Anyway, I'll find it, and we should talk about it and get it up on next week's program or something, because we need to do something about this, and we need to make a huge impact on what's going on, because we're being ripped off. I mean, every time we turn around, the president is putting his foot in his mouth. But the thing is, even without putting his foot in his mouth, you can't believe what he says. He'll say anything, absolutely anything. I mean, I consider him right along with those in Iran. They'll say anything to get their way. And it just doesn't – we've got a nothing government, because we don't know what he's saying. We don't know what he's doing. And he'll say one thing and do another. And
I've always said he's just a used car salesman. Just like this this is from CNSNews.com, where Obama commenting on the national deficit and the economy, basically is saying that I'm quoting, he says, those layoffs wouldn't have happened if the public sector employees grew like they did in the past two recessions. The unemployment rate would be 6.5 instead of 7.5, and our economy would be much better off, and the deficit would still be going down if we'd be getting more tax revenue. And he's referring to the fact that having more people, if they're, let me skip over, would be on decline if there were more federal, state, and local government workers. So basically,
well,
go ahead.
If you've got more workers, you're right. You would be getting more taxes, be gathering more money, be more money in the coffers to work with. The thing is, if they're federal and state workers, we're paying them in the first place.
That's right. So you'd be getting some of that money back into it, but at some point it would diminish because it's not fresh money.
Well, and you lose. You don't ever get anywhere near in what you put out. I mean, that's back to perpetual motion, and it just doesn't exist. I don't care what you say or who you are. You can try and prove it to a million times if you want to, but perpetual motion does not exist in anything.
Well, maybe that's what the whole deal is. That's what they believe in, you know.
All I
know is that they don't deal with economic reality. I mean, just like Michelle Obama, does she have a degree or any education in nutrition?
I don't know. She has a college education. I mean,
I got a college education too, but that doesn't mean I know how to tell you how what's good for you to eat or not. Or
maybe she read a book.
She read a book.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right, I take that back. She read a book that makes her an expert enough to tell the whole nation that you shouldn't be eating this way, just like Michael Bloomberg saying that we shouldn't have more than 16 ounces of soda and passing laws preventing people from defending their right to be fat.
Well, at least you'll have to admit what Mrs. Obama is doing is working. What Mr. Obama is trying is not. I mean, her ideas at least are accomplishing something. I mean, I don't know that they're necessary, but they aren't hurting anyone that I know of, except maybe McDonald's. But Obama's ideas and philosophies and such are just not working. And so maybe he should listen to his wife.
I'll disagree with you on one point, is that she actually managed to get some laws changed. Like, for example, the 100,000 bar or whatever. If you notice, candy bars are getting smaller. That's because, thanks to Michelle Obama, working on getting laws changed that are determines the maximum amount of calories a candy bar can have. And that's one of the reasons why, besides the fact, smaller, the more profits they make because of cost. But that's one of the reasons why candy bars are smaller nowadays, is because they can only limit the amount of calories that are in the candy bar.
Well, maybe they did that now. I hate to tell you this, but I'm old, and candy bars are getting smaller since day one. I can remember a Three Musketeers bar that was huge. Actually, you could take the Three Musketeers bar had three sections, and each one of those sections was as big as the Three Musketeers bar of today, and they were only a nickel.
Right.
So not only have they been getting smaller, but they've been going up in price. But that's not something Michelle Obama did.
No, but back then, too, I mean, yes, they started getting smaller because of the economics, but they didn't have the regulations saying that in order to prevent fat children and obesity, we've got to lower the amount of calories that are available. I mean,
that's ridiculous because it's just like everything else. They'll eat two.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You know, you go buy a candy bar for $1.25, whatever it is now, you get this little tiny thing. It's like, chomp, okay, it's gone. Give me another one.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of eating, like, say, I'm just going to throw a number in the air, a 300-calorie candy bar, you're now eating two 200-calorie candy bars.
Right. And mom and dad are paying for them, and they keep coughing up the money.
Right.
That's another problem.
Thing, now, this is just a – okay. I'm probably going to get letters for this one. When we were talking about obesity, I saw a lady yesterday shopping at Walmart, driving around in one of those little courtesy carts that the stores offer. Huge lady, and I'm trying to be nice. And in her basket was two large things of powdered donuts, the large size one. She was at the bakery buying this huge cake. And that's just stuff I saw staying at her. So we talk about obesity.
That was for her children.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that's what she explained it. You know, I don't have any problems with obesity. I'm obese. I know that. I still get around. I walk. I'm fine. I do ride around in one of those carts because I have a problem with my feet.
Right.
It's a diabetic thing, which is also because of obesity. So I know, I do eat. I would love to have a donut. I'd love to have 20 donuts. That's my problem. I'd love to have 30 donuts, and I would if I'd start eating them, so I don't have any.
Yes. Well, I don't know where I'm going with that, but anyway, 646-721-9887.
Well, the point is, where we were going with that is that Obama's programs are working. I mean, even if you don't like it, her getting the law passed worked. It did do something. And Mr. Obama, I don't think he can get a thing through. He's doing it by disobeying the laws. I mean, he doesn't pay any attention to the Constitution. He just forces things through. He rams them through if they don't go his way. And that's the thing we've got to get rid of. I've got to get somebody who appreciates that we do have laws in the United States. And they don't. He's not it. The law, that is.
Right.
I mean, he's not a king. Although he'd like to be, I'm sure.
I think he believes he's a king.
I think so too. That's my problem. He does believe. I think he does believe he is a king. And we can't leave him in there, and we can't get him out. I mean, we need this $1.5 billion that we're giving Egypt. We need that in the United States to help to help remove a president who shouldn't be there.
Right. No, I totally agree. In fact, I was going to bring up something if I could find it real quick. But
Obama has already informed us that if we do go into this problem, this thing with where we shut down the government, and because that's they've done this two or three times, several times now, but probably two or three times during his administration, and they're talking, he's threatening to do it again, but he has informed us that his healthcare law draws funding from sources that are not subject to congressional budget processes. And so according to him, the health care law will still be funded if they've shut down the government.
Right. And the question is why the big push for that? Well, like I say, if the whole purpose of Obamacare, for example, was just to provide insurance for everybody, yeah, that's one thing. But we all know that there's more to it than that.
Well, that it's creating problems already, and we aren't even officially into it.
Right. Well, Obama's backing off on it a bit. I found what I was looking for real quick as we were talking about candidates. There's one candidate that I've actually had conversations with, and I'm liking where she's going, but she mentioned something earlier that I responded back. I said, this would make a really good slogan. She's running for Oregon Senate, and she says that this is a team effort. I represent your ideas. Remember, I will not waver from the intent of the U.S. Constitution. And I wonder how many people that are running for office that even know what the U.S. Constitution is.
Well, I believe that perhaps they've read it. If not, they can find it on caribbeanradio.com. It's there in total, and you can read the whole thing. It's easy to find, and it's there in a million places on the internet. And so it's not if you haven't read it, it's not because you can't find it. It's not because you can't get it. It's because you're too damn lazy. But the thing is, you need to read it. And anybody that follows the Constitution, we can't go wrong with that, I don't think. I mean, we have made some amendments to the Constitution. We made some changes to the Constitution. But it has basically been good for us for an awful long time. And until it proves to be bad, we should give it a chance.
Yeah. Well, and what bothers me is that we've had, I can't remember who the Supreme Court judge was when she was overseas and was telling, not recommending about using our Constitution as a guideline. And they said that, you know, our Constitution is so outdated that she basically wasn't impressed with it anymore. And it's like, okay, well, you're in the wrong position if you don't.
Well, and what was she? Was she an elected official?
No, it was Supreme Court judge. They're nominated. So she's there for life.
That's too bad. That's extremely too bad.
Yeah, judge. Excuse me.
Because she should be impeached. I mean, you can get rid of him.
Yeah, you can get rid of him. But have that attitude is that, you know, the whole purpose of the Supreme Court is to not make the laws, but to rule on the laws based on the Constitution or the constitutionality of the law.
Yeah. I don't know. If we get back to the Constitution, everybody get back to the Constitution, and we'd be better off. And so consequently, if we've got a person running for office, any office, and they don't do it based on them dealing with the Constitution, we should just forget them. I mean, unless they're going to, I don't know.
It's part of the oath of office that everybody in the executive branch takes, or I'm assuming even locally that, you know, you will, even the president, you know, you will abide by and defend the Constitution.
Well, we've got an awful lot of people that obviously aren't.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point, is that you can say anything you want to get into office. And once you're in office, it's a free-for-all. It doesn't matter.
That's got to change. That's what's got to change. You, that's the big thing. You can say anything you want to get in office. And people do. I mean, candidates for offices run and say anything you want to get in office. And we don't get upset at that. That's our fault. We should not allow that to take place, because that's what gets us in trouble. We believe what they've said.
Right.
And we're stupid. I mean, just absolutely stupid for that. You can't believe what they're saying. And if you can't believe what they're saying, why are we electing them to anything?
Well, they're all there for the wrong reasons. That's just like a movement to put limitations for how long somebody can remain in Congress like 12 years or something like that instead of making it a lifetime job. You know, they didn't write that into the Constitution because back then, when the founding
people elected new people.
Well, yeah, I mean, you go in, you serve your time, you know, you're there to run the country or to help the country, and you go back to your job. You don't make a career out of hanging out in Congress and doing like you're not being like a Nancy Pelosi's and that type of stuff.
Well, I can understand them people letting, once they found somebody that is good, somebody that actually does what they say they're going to do, or actually then we want to keep them there. But the thing is, once we forget about them and we start ignoring them, and they maybe they get older or something, I don't know, but they change their ways. They don't do what they were doing or whatever. They don't, you know, one of the things that I would think that electing a new person to any office would do is keep the person fresh, to keep that person up to date. The person, you know, if they stay in that office for years and years and years, they're not going to bother to know the law. And the laws have changed, and the laws should change. We are, the whole country changes, and we've got to go along with that. So,
I agree with you on that. But here's the other thing, too, is you create a ruling class of people. People go into office, yes, it costs a lot of money to run for office, and a lot of people go in there, in the upper income bracket, is, $100,000, $200,000 a year, whatever, that range, and they leave office as a multimillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So there are some people, I'm not going to say everybody, there are some people that go in there with all noble intentions, but then they find out that, as it says in the Constitution, that while you're in office, you are immune from imprisonment or whatever. So, and a lot of laws do not apply to you, or because what came live on insider trading, because if you're a lawmaker and you know what's going to happen and you know how it's going to affect the market, well, anybody else, you go to jail to do that. But it's the wrong reasons for them being there, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, regardless of what the reasons are, people, human beings, have this tendency to find the wrong reasons. They have a tendency to expand on a little thing that they notice and build it up, and they'll make it into something else. That's partly why we need to keep them changed. That's why we need to keep them rotated. Always keep rotating the officers of the state, the government.
Totally agree. And that keeps you more in touch with the people, here comes the word, that they represent.
Well, that's the thing. Are they really representing us? Because that's the thing that I'm missing. I don't see much of anybody representing me.
Yeah. And that's what gets me in. You don't hear it too often, but I hear it a lot from Harry Reid and others. Well, the American people feel that bullshit. When's the last time you actually talked to the people and said, hey, how do you feel about the filibustering that goes on in the White House or in Congress?
Well, one of the things, too, is that they only listen to certain people. They listen to the people who talk to them. They listen to the people who attend their meetings and go to their meetings. We have, Ron Wyden and people here at home in the state of Oregon. They go out and hold these meetings, these town hall meetings and things like this, which is all well and good. They're making the effort, but they're not really finding out what the people are saying. The same people go to those meetings all the time, and they hear what they have to say. They don't hear what the real everyday citizen has to say. They're just these little concentrated groups, because most people don't have the time nor take the time to go to these meetings. And so they're not listening to who.
Well, it's hard to take time off because a lot of these meetings are held during normal business hours, with the exception of a few of them might be held, during the weekday at 7, 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock or something like that. Again, which makes it very hard for a working person to take time off to get down and get involved.
Well, see, in my opinion, we shouldn't even consider those meetings a part of it. They should actually, they've got a huge staff, they've got a huge budget. All of this congressmen and legislators, either one, have plenty of staff, and they could actually hire someone to go out and like a shopper who goes in and buys something and sees how the shop owner works or how the clerk works.
Right.
You go in and visit people where they are. I mean, at lunches, you know, we're not at lunch for that purpose. Just go in and talk to people at a lunch, and not even you don't even have to really identify yourself. I suppose if somebody asks, you should, but you don't have to. But you need to find out what people really think, because you're not getting what people think. Not really. You could go to the fair. People go to the fair and talk to them there. Find out what they think. But do it clandestinely. I hate to use that word, but that's basically what it would be. I don't know if that.
Well, you got forums like this one, which is not as regulated as the terrestrial talk shows. You know, you can tell us what you think, or just like we're doing right now, we're telling the world what we think.
Right.
And but the thing is that now here's the thing about, you know, going to places or even taking surveys is. I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is. He goes out and does the man on the street segments from time to time.
Yeah. And they're just stupid.
Yeah, well, the thing is he puts out these petitions and he comes up with really stupid stuff just so to make a point. He had a petition one time that, and he filmed it, of course. He films these, his name's Mark Dice, by the way. And he asks the questions like, would you sign a petition here that exonerates President Obama for all the crimes that he's committed? And just about everybody, oh, yeah, sure, fine, we'll sign this. And as they're signing, he's reiterating the fact that, you know, you're signing the petition that, you know, amnesty for any crime that Obama has committed or will commit or he can do whatever, and you're signing the petition saying that this is okay.
Yeah.
You know, one time he even went out and regarding the Trayvon Martin thing and says that we're pushing a petition to make it illegal to have black backpacks because blue and red and other color backpacks are good, but black ones are really bad, and so we think we should ban black ones.
Well, that's where he's mistaken, because different colors are different. Gangs and things, you can't just go out and do things. You can't even wear different colors. You have to be very careful. I'm very glad. I don't live in an area where all of this means anything. I can wear anything I want to.
Right.
But if you're gonna have somebody on the street to do something like this, you'd be better off having Jay Leno do it.
Well, pretty much, and Jay Leno's done the same thing too. But the point was, he just picked a color and said, should we have legislation preventing it? You know, he just comes off with these off-the-wall things, and people sign it. Should we get rid of the First Amendment? You know, I'm having a petition to abolish the First Amendment. People go ahead and sign it. Yeah, sure, I'll go along with this. They don't know what they're signing.
Well, that's the thing. So maybe you're disputing what my whole idea is of on the street and getting people to give you opinions of things, but you don't want to see. The thing is, you're making a mistake here, is that you're giving them something to sign, which just means that they've got to read something in order to understand it, and people don't.
They don't read it, no.
And so you've got to, not giving them something to sign, you've just got to stand and talk to them and get their opinion. And you can, I don't care how you do it. In my opinion, you can record it. I know that's supposedly illegal or something, but you could write it down later. But you just got to talk to people and get their ideas and their opinions. And when, you know, this guy that you're talking about is not getting their opinions. He's asking them to sign his opinion. But she's not actually getting their ideas or their opinions about anything. It's, you know, and you're right. Jay Leno doesn't do that, but he does it for fun. He goes out and asks, you know, what's the name of the president, and nobody knows. But, I mean, that's just more for fun than anything else. But this could be a legitimate way to find out what America thinks, because I agree with you. I don't believe many people in our government have an idea what America thinks.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. I mean, in this era, you know, with the fad called the internet, you know, there's no reason why not to get the opinions out there. But the problem is they don't care. I mean, like, I'll just use as an example in trucking, they passed some new regulations that are costing tons of money. It went into effect first this month. But the FMCSA says, oh, they'll be saving money. And it has just the opposite, and they're not listening to the people about what they want. But they went ahead and passed the rules anyways. There's court challenges, which anything else, they'll maybe freeze the implementation of it or delay it, but they just threw it in there. They don't care what the people want. All they know that these new regulations are going to increase revenue, and that's really all they care about.
You know, I think one of the things we should do with this type of thing, because you mentioned the internet, when people put an article on a lot of newspapers or a lot of blogs or whatever, they'll put comments afterwards, and you can give a comment. That's the part that I want to read. That's the part I think means more than the official blurb itself.
I totally agree, and when I do my news search, I like reading other people's comments. In fact, I've even found articles that they were wrong, and I corrected them and gave them my sources. So I like to go to the source as much as possible for my information, not just third party or whatever. But it's nice reading other people's opinion on this. And sometimes there's opposing opinion, sometimes there's not, sometimes there's a mixture. But sometimes, most of the time, a lot of these people give some really good arguments about why they like it or why they don't like it.
And they do give good arguments. I agree with – I read probably more of the comments section than I do of the actual articles of whatever it is I'm looking for. And I read comments on anything. I mean, I think a comment section is one of the best things on the internet.
I totally agree. In fact, when a news source doesn't leave a place for comments, our local paper here does that. When there's an article they really don't want to hear people's input on, they don't allow you to leave a comment, where in some sections they do.
I don't know how it would be doing, because you couldn't just put and leave comments on everything. But, excuse me. I don't, anyway, I personally, we need to find out more of what America believes and what they think. And, of course, that's going to change regularly. Right now, one of the things is they believe they would like to have a job. And that's what we need to have done. And we haven't done very much about getting people jobs. I mean, we've done a lot about making it impossible to get jobs. And I don't want to have a whole bunch of government jobs and inflicts of those. I mean, it's better than nothing, I suppose, and it'd be nice to have a government jobs, but that's not accomplishing anything.
No, and too much regulation. Speaking of jobs, I'm failing to do my job, which is inviting people in the last 35 minutes of the program to give us a call, 646-721-9887. You can comment on what we're talking about or anything else. I do have a quick little blurb that I wanted to kind of throw out there about something that happened recently. And Cliff, you are pretty good on this because of your career in radio. You understand a little bit about copyright laws, especially
you
use on the air. Microsoft got in trouble recently with itself because it blacklisted itself.
What?
Yeah, it says that because there's so many people out there that are pirating software, or pirating this, that, and the other thing. Google is saying, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's like thousands of takedown requests, like in one sense over 769,000 in 4 weeks. There's just that many. So they have automated software to kind of help do that. Well, Microsoft, which recently filed a Digital Millennium Copyright Act takedown request against itself for copyright infringement.
I see.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's just like feeding the dog and the dog turned around and bit you. They said that Google, which normally does that automatically, happened to catch the mistake and kept the pages up. Microsoft said that it says that Microsoft submitted nearly 5 million takedown requests in a one-year period. So this is what happens when you automate.
Yeah. And you know, I happen to be one that is kind of bad for, I don't want to call it piracy, but I guess it is. Basically, one of the things that I do, I use old copies of software, because when it first came out, it was free. And now, anything that was worthwhile has gotten quite expensive in order to buy the software now. And so I will oftentimes use an old version of the program on my computer just because I owned it originally and I don't have to go out and buy it again. Because
well, that's the thing, that what you can do is that if you read the EULA, you go buy it and it's allowed to be used on one computer, but you can go ahead and retire that computer and transfer it to another and still be legal. And in fact, in some cases, it is legal to make one copy. It depends on the EULA, but whatever. That's just the whole point, though. When they automated the system, that it came back and bit themselves, and some of the sites that it took down was their help pages and a few other things on their website that basically was inconvenient for them.
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, like some programs. Yeah, I've had these computers, and I've been playing with computers for a long time, and some programs came out and were free.
Right.
But now they've changed them and upgraded them, and they do charge money for them. And they don't go for a little bit of money. They jump right in and charge big bucks. And so I just say, hell with it. I don't use that new version. I use the old version,
right, exactly,
which was free.
Well, and that's kind of like the old argument about Napster. About music, for example, back in the days of, remember the days of 45s?
I remember 78s.
Okay, but the whole point is that you can go buy a CD now for $14, $15, and you get one song on it that you want. Back in the days of 45s, I mean, there's two songs on the thing, one on each side, and you go buy the damn song that you want.
Yeah.
For like, what, a couple dollars?
Yeah.
And so Napster, you know, what they're doing now is that you can go to iTunes or wherever and buy the song for 99 cents, which is more reasonable. And, of course, people are actually spending the buck to get it versus spending $14 to get one damn song that they want to hear.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with that. I even go to the 99 cent store, so to speak, to buy a song now and then, because if it's something I really want, I don't mind spending the 99 cents, but I do mind spending $14.95 and getting all the other, because I don't usually like the rest of the songs on a CD.
Exactly. So my whole point is, yes, it does take a lot of money and time to develop a software or something, but if you market it where it's a reasonable price. Now, I'm not saying go out and steal the thing. You know, I'm not encouraging people to do that. But you know, if you want to keep copyright infringement down, make it affordable.
Yeah, that's
and then, go on volume to make your money.
There you go, because you can have huge numbers on the internet if you've got something that people want.
Right. Exactly.
Now, if you got something, I can understand that. I worked at an office for a while. An engineering office where we had software that was extremely expensive. I mean, you spend $12,000 for a piece of software, and the thing is, they may only sell 10 of those in the world, so it's going to have to be expensive. But if you're a company that wants that particular piece of software and wants to use that, then you don't mind paying for it. At least I didn't.
Oh yeah, exactly right. Or give it in different flavors, for example. You know, if you have a choice of a streamlined or a Cadillac version, depending on what you want to afford.
Yeah.
But it's just like making an app for your cell phone, and the most popular, of course, are the free apps, but they make it up with the little ads that go in there. Or you make it and you sell it for a buck. Yeah, it may have taken you 3 months to write the thing and how much time it cost you, but if you sell it for a buck and there's a million downloads,
yeah,
100,000 downloads, then you probably more than
and I will have to say, this whole business of putting ads on it, if you get it free, if you want to live with the ads,
right,
that works. I mean, I have gotten so annoyed with the ads that I bought the program. I have actually broken down
exactly.
And spent money.
Exactly. Because, you know, not saying that somebody puts it out there for free and don't expect to get anything back. You know, if you're paying for the program, that's one thing. But it's just the whole point is that, you know, I just thought it was just kind of interesting that, you know, Microsoft put out a takedown request and got itself blacklisted.
Well, see, there are websites online of places where you can get free software, and I go there, and sometimes I'll use their software, the free software, and I'll use it instead of buying a software that maybe costs 10 times as much, but this may do just about what I want, or maybe it will do everything I want, but it doesn't do all the stuff that the original software did. So consequently, you can quite often get something that's similar but not the same for free.
Right, exactly.
I don't know how these people who make the free stuff make a living, but they seem to. I know they used to. I used to go to a lot of places where the advertising on the website made them money, but that doesn't seem to go so much anymore.
Well, that's true. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. But, you know, that kind of a good segue into one of the other topics that we want to touch on, and that was the Galaxy S4, speaking of misleading or non-misleading stuff. Cliff, you had a new thing about that.
Well, the Galaxy S4, that's basically what we started with. That's the thing that they lie to you. That's the thing you got to be careful with. When you're buying something, you got to make sure what they're saying about that product is legitimate, because Galaxy S4 deliberately, they even went to the process of designing the chip in the product to perform better in tests than it did in real life. And I don't know how they do that, but there are certain things that I'm sure if a test read out on adding something up, they can make it add fine, but it couldn't divide or something. I don't know.
But basically, they're saying that, I've seen some of the ads for the S4, which says that this thing with this quad processor is really good with gaming and it's really fast and super, you know, does all this stuff.
Yeah.
But you're saying that they're fixing it, so in reality, it doesn't really, it's not really backing up those claims.
Right. They issued a statement after researchers claimed showed that the handset achieved a higher graphics processing clock speed when benchmarked by specialist software than when it ran on advanced games. So if it's running the software on the benchmark, it's easier for it to do that. When it has to do the actual complexity of running a game, it slows down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think there should be something... I really hesitate to say I think there should be a law, because I don't like laws.
Maybe a standard.
I don't like introducing laws. But there needs to be some way to convince these people that their ethics should be better than this. I mean, they're just plain lying to you. How long can they get away with this? You know, you asked me one time or before they went on air, how did they bring us up? How did they come up with this?
Right.
I'm sure what happened is somebody bought a bunch of these things, took them home, and they didn't do what they said they did. And so consequently, they went back and asked about it, or they talked to somebody about it, or they talked to each other about it, and they wrote information on the Internet about it. See, that's the thing that the Internet is giving us now, is we can get together and talk to each other all over the world. and we can talk about things, and it doesn't cost us much money to do that, but it does perhaps weed out some of the lies and things that we're hearing from manufacturers in this particular case.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a thing that we should do, and I never thought to look on. There must be a place you can go online to find out where people are talking about things like this, isn't there?
There always is something like that. But you bring up a point. I mean, smartphones have only been on the market for 5 years, roughly.
I know.
Not that long. But as technology is getting better, and basically a smartphone is now, pretty much always has been, a small computer, and with the processing power that it has. In fact, even Google just recently came out with a device that plugs into your TV that links to your cell phone. So if you want to watch a video from YouTube or something that's on your cell phone, you can beam it straight over to your television set. So it's becoming more of an entertainment center than it is just strictly, you know, making phone calls.
Well, you know, it's got to be real simple. Before long, we're going to be carrying this huge black box under your arm. That's what your cell phone has turned into, because it's going to want to do everything. I mean, they're just stuffing more and more and more things into your cell phone and expecting them to do everything. And there'll be a come up. There is a point, I think, where they can point of no return, I guess. They're coming up with different fives. The S4 Galaxy is coming up with, there'll be an X5 and S6 and 7. But how big is the phone going to be? I mean, we started going down and getting smaller and smaller and smaller with the phones. And then that about the time that I guess we bought ours about 9 years ago, and that's where they stopped getting smaller and turned around and started getting bigger again, because they wanted bigger screens so you could watch things on a screen. There are people who sit and watch movies on their telephone.
I do that.
You do?
I do that. I have the Galaxy S2. And in fact, even if your subscription to your provider, which is Sprint, because they still have the unlimited data thing, of course, if you're on your local Wi-Fi, it doesn't go against that. Even if your contract runs out with them, it will still work on Wi-Fi. And so, yeah, I watch YouTube or watch movies or whatever on my cell phone, but I usually do that. It's a bedside TV set is what it turns out to be.
My bedside TV set was 13 inches, and I couldn't see that.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine.
The thing that I always bring up is, I kind of say it comically, but in a way it's, you know, try this next time you go down to your Verizon store or to one of those cell phone stores, and they're telling you, yeah, it's got it's got quad processor, it's got 375 terabytes of memory. Of course, I'm exaggerating. And,
yeah.
You know, it can even make coffee for you. Then just ask them one question and be very serious. Hey, that's all good and well. How does it work as a telephone?
Piss poor.
Because my Galaxy S2, being a former truck driver, and in fact, even not just being a truck driver, with the hands-free laws today, you're required to use a Bluetooth. My old Motorola flip phone, the Razr, works great with my Bluetooth. I can't use my Galaxy with it. It won't work. Once it goes into sleep mode, it will not work.
Well, I think even a Bluetooth is wrong. If you're going to be on the phone in the car, you should not have a phone. I have to admit, I saw a commercial on television for some car. I don't remember who it was. But they did have a little thing where you could just talk to your telephone, and it would dial for you and things like that. But it was built into the car.
Oh.
It was built into the car. And so you could talk to it, and it would do whatever you wanted it to do. I assume that you have to spend some time with your car getting personalized with it. So that your car recognizes who you are and how you talk and all that sort of thing. But I think that's the idea. We should be doing a Star Trek thing. They walk around the ship everywhere and just tap their chest and talk to it. And that's the way I want to see my car, my phones, my
like a kit car. Like,
well, I never talk at Carmen.
You walk up and it goes, "Hi, Michael." And then you say, "I keep telling you my name's not Michael."
Really? Well, that's, yeah, that could be a problem too. So anyway, we've got to do something more for being, because I'm concerned about this in-car thing. We're killing people on the highway at a huge rate, and it's getting worse, and it's not getting better. And so we've got to get rid of this business of doing phone things on your car.
Well, the hands, okay, pros and cons. The hands-free thing, like I was telling you about my Razor, I can put the headset on, and the only thing I have to do with it is just touch a button, and then everything's voice command. I can dial just by saying dial. You know, I don't have to take my eyes off the road, and it's just like talking to the person next to me, which is cool. I like that part. I don't like what they're installing in cars now, where they're having the touch displays on your dash, you know, because when you can have a car for a while, you know where the controller, you can feel it, you can change the radio just by feeling the radio. You don't have to look at anything.
I think those touch displays are going away, because that is bad. I agree with you. That is absolutely horrible, because you do have to, you can't, depending on it, it's not going to be there next time in the same place. And so, but that's why this thing is just, it's just like what you were talking about. You turn it on and then you just talk to it. And from here on out, you talk to it. And I know there's this, well, they've got this thing on there on the I think it's Chevrolet's, where you talk to a person somewhere else and get help. But this is just talking to your phone or talking to the radio, or without having to touch it at all. I mean, I assume you turn it on, so yeah. Somewhere along the line you have to turn it on. But maybe not even that. It could be just go on by itself. There's no reason it'd have to turn off.
Well, when the smartphone doesn't go into sleep mode, I can, on the Bluetooth, just say a keyword like, "Hey, Android," and it'll come up and kind of in its own little way say, "What do you want?" And then I'll tell it, you know, "Call Cliff." And hopefully it'll say that it knows Cliff and will call you.
Yeah. I won't answer.
Yeah, you won't answer whether if it works or not.
I'm terrible that way. I don't answer. But, well, to some people I will. If somebody calls me that I don't know who they are, I won't answer, ever.
Exactly. But the downside is, okay, as we're talking about this, there's a recent, as cars get smarter and have more integration in it, and, I mean, like last night I got to ride in a Prius for the first time and got to find out, because I was always curious, you get in a car, you push a button, and you go. It's like, what about keys? Well, it uses an RFID that's in a little key ring thing that you carry, so you get near the car, and the car recognizes the signal, and, "Hi, how you doing? You belong to me," and you can drive the thing. But they demonstrated on a Prius that because of the more technology, wireless systems, cars having an internet in them, the DOT is talking about, or the NTSA, National Transportation Safety Board, wants to have it where cars and trucks are constantly communicating with each other and sending information back and forth, that it makes it hackable. And I saw this video where this guy was actually hacked into a Prius, and as they're demonstrating it, he goes, "Okay, how'd your brakes work?" And the guy pushed the brakes, and all it did was whine, and nothing happened. He tightened the seatbelts remotely. He affected the steering. He did a whole bunch of stuff by overriding the car systems.
See, now we're getting into the thing that that's in the news at the moment about how much do you want your car to do automatically? How much do you want your car to know where you are? How much do you want? Because this is stuff that can be tapped into, and you can, people, you know, we can find out about that. NSA can be putting that in their databases. You know, could be putting in stuff about your car and where you go and all that sort of thing. How much information do we want the government or NSA or whomever to have about us?
Exactly. Good segue. It's just like with the law enforcement is using license plate recognition to, the excuse is to, they can cover or find stolen vehicles a lot more easier, because all they have to do is they have either fixed cameras or the cameras are on the patrol cars themselves logging all these license plates, and if it comes up with a hit, congratulations, we just found a stolen vehicle or a vehicle that's wanted. Great. Except now that they're taking that data and they're collecting it and storing it, and they're able to actually come up with a pattern that, okay, well, Cliff was driving down to the bar at 3:30 in the afternoon, and he usually does this on a Wednesday, and, you know.
Right. That's the thing. There's going to be, of course, I always look at it this way. I've stored a lot of stuff in my computer, just a ton of stuff in my computer. I can't find anything in it. How are these people going to be able to find anything in this gargantuan, huge, what is beyond terabytes? I mean, how do you find anything? I mean, we're going to have so much information stored someplace that it's going to be the same as having none.
Well, yes and no. I mean, everything's stored, and there's algorithms that sorts it out. Just like one example, I can't remember what town it was, but I guess to make a point, the mayor of the town, they gave him a printout of where he's been, and all they had to do was do a search for the database, you know, for his license plate number, and they came up with a whole list of where it's been spotted and what day and time, and from that, I mean, it's just like cookies in your computer as an example. You know, just with a few cookies can detect what your surfing habits are on the internet.
Yeah, I know. And I don't mind that. I don't care. I personally, if you don't have anything to hide, who cares? But the thing is, what if you do have something to hide? And what if you have something you want to say to somebody? What if I want to make a phone call to somebody and I don't want anybody else to know about it? I'm going to encrypt it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn how, even if I have to build my own encryption system or come up with my own system, I'm going to encrypt it, and we're going to have everything on the internet is going to be encrypted. Everything on the phone is going to be encrypted. I have a phone already that I can put up. It's a device that I can hold up to the phone, and when I talk into it, it comes out weird on the other end. Unless you have one on the other end, you don't know what's being said.
Is that what you're doing right now?
That's probably pretty close. But, I think that's a good thing. But I don't think in most instances it's worth it. I mean, I don't usually have anything to say that's worth that time. You know, I could... you look at it, and it's everything has changed. For example, you can't even send a letter. If you send a letter to someone, you could put something in there that you don't want other people to know. But even without opening the letter, nowadays we have ways of reading what's on the inside.
That's right.
So it's amazing. Somebody's going to come up with a way to do everything that's available. I mean, they're going to do it somehow or another.
Well, and getting back into the privacy things we talked off air, the NSA tampering the phone lines or recording the phone lines. And, of course, like the service provider said that, and I think that the courts ruled in their favor that you don't own the information. You know, the providers own it. You know, the records for billing, et cetera. You can't go out in public without being on a camera somewhere. There's cameras here in this area that their whole purpose, the roadside cameras, or to actually look inside your vehicle.
I'm going to start running around naked. Oh. Give them a rest. Give them something to look at.
Oh, please don't. but, you know, what's the next step? And a question I'll put out to people out there is that, you know, as you asked before off air, what can we do about it? And, of course, the question is that people are going, why do we even care? Why is it important until it actually becomes personal? Well, what if they make a law? And this was part of the draft on Obamacare, by the way, if you went to the hospital. But what if they made a law requiring you to be implanted? I know it's that old 666 thing, but it really, if you go look at the original draft, it was actually in the Obamacare thing when you're in the hospital to be implanted. Congress has passed a law with one of the few things that they did where it says that companies cannot require you to be implanted for a job because they were doing that in some high security areas because a badge is non-secure because, you know, you can lose your badge. You've seen in the movies where they use retina scans. You just pop out somebody's eye or whatever. You can still get in, but to be implanted. And then, of course, now they're saying the implants can be hacked. But what the question I guess I'm asking is that despite the 666 deal or the gospel, if it was a law that within 2 years everybody had to be chipped or you get no services or anything else, would you do it?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm not doing anything that's against the law. And if I was doing something that was against the law, I like to think I have enough smarts that somehow or another I could jam the chip so they could get you information off of it.
Well, the thing is also what it's reporting. Like there's a company called Digital Angel that actually makes these chips. And part of what it does is that it gives telemetry about the body in addition to your location. So say... Okay, well, say Michael Bloomberg to the max. This thing, let's say for whatever reason you're not supposed to have so much sugar because, you know, we're fighting obesity. And the system says, okay, well, I'm detecting a very high increase in your blood sugar, so I'm going to send out an alert now telling on you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I understand that entirely. I went through that because I recently had heart surgery, and I wore a device for quite some time that gave all that information, and I just wore it. I had it on me at all times so that they could monitor it and find out what's going on. So, I understand what you're saying. It could do good things for you because in this particular case, it was determining whether my heart was still working, among other things. But on the same token, if it was just there to get information about me, if I was doing something wrong, I'm sure
I'll give you an example. I went to the doctor today, and they're handing out a survey to people. They said, "Well, we require this of all our patients." I'm looking at this thing, and it's all about depression. Are you feeling, you know, you're depressed, feeling sadness? And I'm going, what the hell is this? So, I mean, I did, that was one of the rare times I actually had my smartphone with me because it also works as a recorder, by the way. I looked it up on the internet real quick, and this was a way to see if we can find hidden depression. And what I wrote on there, bite me, B-Y-T-E-M-E, not the other way around. And just said, you know, I told him point blank, I ain't filling this out. Screw you.
Well, that's been going on for a long time. And they want information about what you're doing and what you're feeling. And because that's the medical profession is really a little carried away into thinking they can fix things. And they're not depression, all this kind of stuff. They can't fix it. There's nothing you can do to fix it. How your mind works is not fixable. I'm sorry, and I don't care what kind of devices they put on you or think they find out about you. And I've been putting up with that for years. Every time I go in and fill out any kind of form, there's all kinds of information that they want on that form that I don't fill out. I just simply don't fill out. But it's not something that they can. I mean, it may be something that I'm thinking, or my frame of mind, and it may be something that changes next week. So I just don't think they need to know about it.
Oh, I agree, and that gets back to the privacy issues. You may not think that. Well, maybe to the government, the fact that you like Twinkies is of importance of anything with kind of.
They're coming back.
They are coming back, but the point is like the point I'm making in the chat room here, that, like, say you go to Albertsons, Safeway, or whatever, and you use their little discount card because you get, you know, a certain percentage off retail, and you're thinking, oh, hey, yeah, you know, I have this free club card, and I get a discount. Whoopee. But, again, it gets back to what they're doing with their information, and especially if they take your phone number and now your email address, they can send you coupons, they can send you, it's all marketing, and they can also develop a good image or picture of what of what your eating habits are, good, bad, right.
Actually, I don't have a Safeway card, and I stopped shopping at Safeway card because they kept begging me about it.
Right.
I stopped shopping at Safeway, period. So, I mean, everybody's gathering information. Absolutely everybody is gathering information, I know. And I know they're doing whatever they want to do. That's like sleep apnea. Everybody's been bugging me about, do I get enough sleep? I've never gotten enough sleep. I don't care. I mean, I've lived, and I've the business I was in, I hardly ever got enough sleep. I usually got up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would, you know, to do that, I should go to bed at 7 o'clock at night. I don't, because
I wanted to jump in here real quick because we got about 4 minutes remaining in the program. Still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. At the doctor's office today, because I'm not driving truck now, but I have been. And my previous company is really into the sleep apnea thing. In fact, 1/3 of the drivers do it. And the treatment that they force the drivers to do is the CPAP machine, because it can record you for compliance of usage versus the other treatments. The FMCSA, the Federal Motor Vehicles, the people that make the regulations don't care what treatment you use. Well, anyway, so I was talking to my doctor about that today because my medical card's coming up for renewal, and he pulled out this form, which I've seen before, because we're talking about different criteria, and he says, well, you know, why don't you fill this out? And I'm looking at it, I go, yeah, I've seen it before, and he walked back in and says, you're not going to fill this out? So first of all, why should I fill it out? I'm just asking about it, and secondly, I'm not going to fill out a form that you could say, oh, yes, if I answer it wrong, I'm stuck with a CPAP machine, even though... you know, I'm just asking about the damn thing, and give you something in writing that once you take it, I have no control over.
Yeah. It's doctors are thoroughly convinced they know a lot more than they do. And I don't believe they know whether we're sleeping or not sleeping or what it's doing to us if we don't sleep their way. I mean, I spent 60 years getting by with not enough sleep.
This is an insurance thing. And who knows, because during the program here, my doctor's office called, so maybe they're going to call back and say, we talked about this. We need to look into it more. It's like, you know what? I will give up my CDL before I go on a CPAP machine.
Right. I just get very upset about this business of the sleep thing and all these things. I don't believe that the medical profession knows anywhere near as much as they think they do, and especially when it comes to the mind and how it functions and how much sleep it needs and that sort of thing. I don't believe they know that. They may think they know that. They may have all kinds of tests they know that. Every time I turn around, I'm reading a test that says, This something or other is good for you or not good for you or some food is good to eat. I mean, today you'll find X food is good to eat. Tomorrow the same food won't be good to eat. And so it's just ridiculous that they spend their time thinking they can accomplish this.
That's right. Like some days we have a really good program and other days we suck.
Well, it's interesting that we didn't say anything today. We spent 90 minutes saying nothing. But it was fun.
It was, and I appreciate everybody checking in to hear us not say anything. And again, a reminder, we're on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific time now. So
and next week, help us say nothing.
That's right. So again, thanks for coming, and we hope to catch you back next Wednesday. Have a good day.
Wednesday, 1 o'clock, bye. Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.